Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. You may remember, you loyal listeners of this show, for some time, some years ago, we had a theater critic on this program named Zita Moore. Her parents are Natalie West, the actress, and Keith Moore, the attorney and eventual super seniors golf champion, I'm assuming. They are really old and dear friends of mine, and Zita was an extraordinary. People would write after she would do her reviews and say, in the classic GN fashion, you should use that woman more on your show. She's more interesting than you are. So, okay, I'll try and do my best. Where is Zita, you guys, and welcome to the show.
Zita is in the air as we speak on her way to Tokyo.
To do what?
She's visiting a friend from college and a family that we know through my sister-in-law.
Oh, my God. Now, you two, it's great to see you. You invited me, and we don't see each other enough, that's for sure. I was really happy to hear from you when you invited me to a party that's going on. In a couple weeks, called
June 27th,
called Cocktails and Carrots, at a place called Urban Autism Solutions. And I know that your son Jack, who I have known since he was born, has, what is the correct phrase now? Is it something like on the autism spectrum?
I've, since he was diagnosed, have been willing to say he's autistic.
Right.
But many, many people do prefer to say he has autism.
Or he's
on the spectrum, or he's on the autistic spectrum.
Now, this came, I don't remember exactly when he was diagnosed. How old was he?
I think when Jack was around three.
And is that the usual age?
Now, so many years later, I think people are able to see the symptoms and diagnose their children much earlier.
Well, because, and you two would know much better than I, because this has become a much more, whether it's more easily diagnosable or more prevalent since in the 20-some years since Jack was born. Is that, am I right?
I think the statistics, the last one I remember was that 1 in 59.
Wow.
Or something like that. And then the other significant statistic about autism is that the ratio of males to females is quite high. I think... again, my memory, if memory serves, there are about five male kids on the spectrum versus one female on the spectrum.
And there
so
is
it's an interesting skewing of the population in that way.
One of the things, as you know, my friend Mike Royko, one of his grandkids is severely autistic, so severely that he had to be institutionalized, and the family, the wonderful, his wonderful parents, David and Karen, have been going back and forth from Cleveland to visit with him, and he's sort of pretty non-communicative. I mean, at least I have communicated with Jack. Jack seems to like me.
Jack,
maybe it's just me, but
I mean, Jack is definitely on the higher end of the functioning of the autism spectrum. Jack taught himself how to take the suburban bus system. We lived in Highland Park, and I was at home one afternoon, and he'd gone on one of his long walks, and I tracked him down to Hubbard Woods, and I went to pick him up, and I said, Jack, the time didn't make sense to me. He'd gotten a long way in a short period of time, and he was about 10 or 11 years old at the time. I said, Jack, how did you get here? He said, on the bus. So he figured out how to how to do things. And then we eventually he was taking the Metro train up to Waukegan and doing other things that we were testing his boundaries at an early
One of the things that the Roycos had told me, and that I know you two, who and both of you, David and Karen, and you, Natalie and Keith, have been about as hands-on as parents. I mean, investigating the best place to go to school, the best services, the best people for Jack to talk to. But it occurred to me, and frighteningly, that eventually, as someone on the spectrum gets older, there's like nothing.
Well, that's a problem that all of these kids face, because we're very lucky in the Chicago metropolitan area that the school systems tend to have good, better than if elsewhere, special ed programs for
sure.
Kids of all different kinds of disabilities. And we live in Highland Park and have lived there for 22 years.
Well, and the reason you moved to Highland Park, if I recall, brain is mush most of the time, but it was you were living in LA. Natalie was had been on Roseanne. You were working as a screenwriter. You needed to get Roseanne kind of petered out, and you wanted to find the best services available in the country for Jack, and you found them
up there. Was actually Zita. Zita presented
their daughter.
Yeah, Zita Jack's was 2 years sister. Older than Jack and was 5 years old when we moved back to Chicago in 1997. And Natalie found Cove School in Northbrook.
Sure.
And Zita was admitted to Cove School as the youngest kid there when she was basically in kindergarten age. And Zita's not on the autism spectrum, never was, but she had learning disabilities and severe delays. And Natalie found Cove School for Zita. And so when we moved back, it was all a matter of trying to get a house that was close enough to Cove School for her to go to.
Wow.
And Cove School is tucked in behind Northbrook Court. And if you're driving on the spur from the Edens to 294, you pass Cove School on the right, and it's I think it was the one of the oldest schools in the United States for K through 12 kids with disabilities.
Well, whatever they
learning
did,
disabilities.
Whatever Zita's learning disability it was, you could have, in a way, you could have fooled me. Not that I'm a teacher. I mean, Zita is just an incredibly talented writer and very creative. Now, young woman, but Jack needed more attention.
At that time, Cove School was not equipped to deal with people with autism. I think maybe that's changed over time. I really don't know.
You would think.
But Jack was falling through the cracks. Whew. And, we finally found the right place for him. But, Rick, to get back to what you said about after kids go through high school.
Yeah.
What happens.
Right.
And where Jack is now and what the Tracy family has started is a place for young adults on the spectrum to come and be, to work at the farm.
And live. And to try to have...
And to have social access.
After the news, we're going to talk to Julie and Michael Tracy, who founded this Urban Autism Solutions in 2012 out of their own, the manifestation of their own need for one of their children, and they're the ones who are throwing this party to which you can go. Whenever this topic comes up on the air, and I've had David Royko on the air talking about it, I hear from a lot of people out there, one of the problems is that finding, it is difficult, is it not, Natalie and Keith, Natalie West and Keith Moore, because you've been through it. It is sometimes so difficult to find the resources. And for other people, and I know you're part of that larger community, there are some people who are kind of embarrassed to be looking. You know, I think that's one of the real tragedies of this thing. I'm going to have you, after the news, sort of formally introduce Julie and Michael Tracy. We're going to get them on the phone and talk about urban solutions. But this place for you is a heaven for your son, is it not?
Well, yes. Jack now, when he has a choice between coming to Highland Park and spending the night at our house or staying at 1212, the main house of the organization. They have so many activities, especially during the summer, that he'll bypass coming home. He'd rather be with his friends.
Wait a minute. You haven't made the offer to spend some time with Uncle Rick, have you?
Well,
he'd flee from that, I'm sure. He'd flee from that.
Jack is barely verbal, but he would express himself strongly.
I've talked to Jack. I really like Jack a lot. I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but all through his adolescence. No, he didn't communicate much, but what we did communicate was special to me. We're going to get some commercials in and then some news, and then we'll come back and talk to Julie and Michael Tracy and continue talking to Natalie West and Keith Moore about urban autism solutions, which is obviously changing lives in very, very profound ways. We'll be back. I have known Keith Moore and Natalie West for, again, I guess I can say now, most of my life. Keith is an attorney and a very talented amateur golfer, and Natalie is one of the best actresses to ever grace a Chicago stage. They sent me an invitation. We don't see each other enough. That's one of the problems. They sent me an invitation to a party on June 27th, a gathering, Carrots and Cocktails, brought to you by Urban Autism Solutions, and I'm certainly planning to go, and the public is invited, and I'll give you all sorts of details. But I was asking them about it and decided, wow, I know so many of my friends, Karen and David Royko, have an autistic son who is sadly has to live in Cleveland. They may move out there. And Natalie and Keith have an autistic son, Jack, who has been a buddy of mine since he was a little baby. And they told me about, I said, what's Jack doing? And they brought up Urban Autism Solutions, and so I'm so pleased to have Julie and, or I don't know if you're both on the phone, Julie and Michael Tracy, who started this organization in 2012. Are you on the phone?
Hi, Rick. Yes, this is Julie and Mike. We're both here.
Hi, Julie and Mike. This is my affection for Natalie and Keith is unbounded. And my affection for you two starting this thing, this is, and it's even with my interest in autism, it's flown a little under the radar for me. Can you tell me why and how you started this, and then we'll get into, you know, specifics about what you do?
Absolutely. We would love to tell you about our organization. Well, you know, as you can imagine, Rick, like most things that this Urban Autism Solution started from a personal need in our own family.
Sure.
Mike and I are the proud parents of two young men. We have a son, Joe, who lives in California. He's married to his wife, Emily. And we have our younger son, John, who's 26 years old. John was diagnosed with autism, you know, back in about 1994. And, you know, much like Jack, this was back in the days when people really weren't talking about autism.
No kidding.
And, you know, John was one of these really interesting, kind of quirky kids who was really hard to describe or hard to diagnose. He didn't have necessarily classic features of what people thought of as autism back in those days.
Sure.
But he had a lot of trouble getting through the day in a smooth way. I think that sums it up. John went through, we raised our family in Glenview. We loved Glenview. Our boys both went to the public schools. John made it through his first couple of years in high school, but then really, really started to have significant trouble at that time. Mm-hmm. So He attended the wonderful Sonia Shankman Orthogenic School in Hyde Park, and we had our struggles there as well, but he ended up doing very, very well in that setting. It was a wonderful residential program for students, bright students who have social and emotional and learning difficulties. However, there was a time when John was hospitalized and psychiatrically hospitalized and really, really struggling for stability. And it was really during the summer of 2011, he was at Rush University Medical Center for over 6 weeks, and we didn't think he was going to make it. It was very, very challenging time for our family.
I'll bet.
And, we looked around and said, you know, even when John gets out of here, if he gets out of here, you know, what is going to come next once he's stable and back on his feet? We looked around and really didn't see much of anything in terms of programming for housing or jobs.
Julie, let me interrupt you for a second, yeah. Julie Tracy. That, to my mind, is one of the grand tragedies of this whole thing, that people with children, autistic children of a certain age, when they did heretofore look around and say, okay, well, I know it happened to the Roycos. What is going to happen? What can we do now? And you and your husband, Michael, had the wherewithal to figure it out and then to do something about it.
Well, you know, we were essentially, I think, you know, we were desperate.
Yeah.
We did take some trips. We looked all over the country. And remember, this was back in 2011.
Right.
I'm happy to say now that, you know, there are programs that are really springing up and there are more services, I think, available. But, you know, even 6, 7, 8 years ago, really there wasn't a fit necessarily for kids like John and kids like Jack. We looked at some residential programming in Illinois, and we were frightened by it. Yep. We went to see programs in California. We looked at programs in Arizona, and we did a lot of just thinking and planning and learning. And from those models, we're grateful to those folks who started the programs that we went to observe. We drew what we thought was the best of the best ideas and just dug in and started setting up something that we thought would be suitable not only for John, but for others like him, so that we could create a community of, you know, lifelong learners and residents long after we were gone.
Well, and giving people, that is another element of it. I don't like to dwell on the whole, after we're gone, what happens to these people? And I think you were coming up, I think the word solutions in your Urban Autism Solutions Network is incredibly prescient and precise. The website is urbanautismsolutions.com, and you have programs and services and consulting and vocational training and even residential places. Julie and Mike Tracy, let me interrupt you for a second to ask Keith and Natalie, Keith Moore and Natalie West, how did you, as you were searching, dear old friends, for something for Jack's future and contemplating Jack's future, how did you find Urban Autism Solutions?
A good friend of mine invited me to a talk at Urban League. Is that
the Urban League?
Yes, Urban League. Sure.
And that's where I first saw the wonderful Julie Tracy speak. And she talked about a model that she had in mind. And I was lucky enough to be there at the beginning.
It must have, Natalie, seemed like the proverbial ray of sunshine. I mean, you, as Julie just described, you know, going around the country and seeing places that would scare them and places.
Yeah, I was still in denial at that point. About, you know, I always thought somehow, some way, we're going to figure it out for Jack. But I've been lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time. So.
Julie, when you and Mike began this, what was the initial, did you have a building, did you have a space, was your initial aim to, because I am assuming it has expanded dramatically over the last 6 or 7 years, it must have started modestly, yes?
Oh, very much so. We essentially did our homework. We looked at the areas that were causing the biggest needs for young adults. And, of course, we used John as our model. He was sort of our prototype.
Sure.
But we knew that John had made so much progress at the orthogenic school. He was graduating with a job. He was loving the city, and we love the city, too. We've always been drawn to the city. And we knew we wanted to start our programming here in Chicago. We knew that we needed a strong medical partner to provide psychiatric care for our clients because 60 to 70% of young people with autism have mental health concerns.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really organized service delivery around that fact yet, surprisingly, but we knew that was going to be important. And that's one of the benefits of when John was in the hospital. We became very familiar with the Near West Side, and we fell in love with the UIC neighborhood and the Little Italy neighborhood. We knew it was pedestrian-friendly and relevant and near these medical partners and universities. So we basically started with the biggest area of his needs, which were housing, employment, and social opportunities. And we just, you know, like I'm sure as Natalie has described and Keith, Mike and I as parents just picked those areas and dug in and started creating programming around that. So our very first model, we wanted to have a residence for young adults that served as more than a residence. We wanted to bring the community into us. We knew we needed space that would serve as a place of hospitality and welcome and serve as a site for organizing meetings and parties and get-togethers because our young folks tend to be very isolative.
Sure.
And we wanted to sort of make sure that the world came to them as well.
Well, it's the whole notion.
Be out in the world quite a bit.
It's the whole notion of creating community. I have to take, Julie and Michael Tracy, I have to take a short break, but we'll be back in a couple minutes to continue this conversation. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the website is UrbanAutismSolutions.com. Welcome back. I'm on the phone with Julie and Mike Tracy, the two people who founded Urban Autism Solutions in 2012, and I'm in studio with my old dear friends Keith Moore and Natalie West, whose son Jack is involved in this remarkable organization, along with the Tracy's son John. In essence, you can get a ton of information at the website, which is UrbanAutismSolutions.com. But in essence, what this does, what it is doing, is providing young adults with autism social, residential, and vocational solutions to their lives. And in so doing, creating a community that I have to think, and you two tell me this first, Nat and Keith, is incredibly empowering for the people involved.
Well, absolutely. I think Jack is a young man who has agency and feels that he is a part of his community, and he's doing very well.
Yeah, he's an enthusiastic participant, and what Julie and Mike are able to do are to create activities. Some as simple as every Wednesday night visiting a different restaurant in a different neighborhood, and the guys you know, volunteer to do this, and Mike leads the way, and they experience the city, and then in the summer it's, you know, whatever street fair is happening on a Saturday night and other things, just to break the boundaries for these.
Well, I also think where this fundraising party is going to take place is the Growing Gardens Farm. Julie and Mike, tell me about that. What is that?
Well, in a nutshell, Rick, Growing Solutions Farm is an acre and a half produce farm in the middle of the Illinois Medical District. Every summer, we serve up to 30 young people, predominantly from the West Side, from very low-income neighborhoods. These are Chicago public school students with mild intellectual disabilities and autism, and they learn vocational skills. We teach them transferable job skills. We basically use agriculture as our means and our medium, but we're really giving them their first opportunity for paid employment. So we're part of the One Summer Chicago program. All the kids earn a paycheck, and hopefully, and often we found is the case, this is leading to employment for them when they do leave high school and when they're in high school. So it's a great program. We have a farm stand every Saturday in the Green City Market in the West Loop. We have a farm stand at the farm on Wednesdays. It's also run by our young adults. And as you mentioned, we have this great party coming up on Thursday, June 27th, and our wonderful executive director, Heather Tarkson, is putting together. We're serving kerosene cocktails from 5 to 7 at 2200 West Campbell Park Drive, and we'd love to have people come out and join us and see the farm. It's a very unique program. It's designed specifically for people with autism. It's a nationally recognized, really, signature program of ours, and we're just thrilled with it. And well, Jack is back at the farm with us. I want to let Mike tell you a little bit about the hike, because, I mean, he's sitting here, and Jack is one of our best hikers.
Yeah, Jack is one of my core hikers. I usually lead, about six or eight, usually guys with me every Wednesday night, and we explore a different neighborhood of the city. Chicago is just such a rich...
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
Rich city with all these different neighborhoods, different ethnic neighborhoods.
How many have you been to?
Don't really have the number off the top of my head, but if you name a neighborhood, we've been there. We've been all the way up to Rogers Park and all the way down to Beverly and everywhere in between.
That's great. You know, Mike, I have to think, and I see in this studio, Natalie and Keith smiling too, that what you're doing is not only tremendous and enriching for the young people, it is also enriching for the parents, for you and Julian, for Keith and Nat.
Well, I really enjoy the hike.
Yeah.
And, you know, we only missed one this winter when it was 30 below. We sat that one out. But
You're smart, Mike.
We're out every Wednesday night. The guys have to pay their own way on the CTA. We usually take the CTA to a neighborhood, and then we hike around for about 3 miles, learn the neighborhood, point out some architecture to them, and some other points of interest. And then we try to eat dinner at a restaurant. I try to keep it somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $15.
Sure.
I don't want anyone to be excluded because of the cost.
Yeah. But in that way, you're probably going to, you know, sort of more ethnically neighborhoody places rather than, you know, the hip new we serve foam for dinner kind of restaurants. I like this idea. You ever have guests? I might like to go with you on one of these things. Could I do that maybe?
Absolutely. Every Wednesday night, we leave 1212 West Florida at 5 o'clock sharp.
You can count on me. Mike and Julie Tracy, I greatly admire. I'm going to have you back on the show to talk more about this, but what you've done gives me faith, but it gives me hope. You can learn more about what they're doing at Urban Autism Solutions. It's a nice website. It really does detail everything that's going on. And
thank you, Rick.
I'm so glad that Keith and I'm so glad. Well, I love Keith and Natalie, and they've been friends forever, and I love Zita and Jack. And they invited me to this thing, cocktails, carrots and cocktails. It is at 2200 West Campbell Park Drive from 5 to 7, Thursday, June 27th. You can get tickets by going again to Urban Autism Solutions, which you absolutely should do.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Have you ever eaten a carrot?
I don't think so. I'm not sure I've ever eaten a vegetable. But the other part of the thing, the cocktail part,
yeah,
is very, 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 very intriguing to me. Very intriguing. Julie and Mike, it's great to meet you on the phone, and I'm really really taken with what you're doing, and you know, 7 years in, and it's only going to get better and bigger. And maybe, you know, some deep-pocketed philanthropist will write you a check for $40 million or something and let it go on forever. So it's nice to meet you over the phone. Keith and Nat, safe drive home. Love you guys. And Zita landed in Japan yet?
No.
All right. Well, I'm sure she's such a good girl, she'll call you. Yeah, you hope she'll
Thank
call you. Oh, my pleasure. This is great, and I'll see you Thursday the 27th, and then I'm going to go. Then I'm going to go wandering the town on some Wednesday night with Mike and his gang. It's really great to learn.
That'll be worth the sidewalk set.
It will. I don't do anything that I can't write about. I mean, that's what's stupid about me. But UrbanAutismSolutions.com, for those of you out there who are looking for hope in a life that is shadowed by autism, that is the place to go. So thank you all. Thank you all.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Keith and Kelly.
No, my pleasure. We're now all buddies. And I want to see Jack, and I want to meet your son, John.
You'll see.
Jack and I talk to each other. It's a secret in our lives, but we talk to each other.